morning on WCHL. Is the threat of snow gone? We'll give you the latest forecast from the National Weather Service in Raleigh. Authorities say the man who pulled a knife on a UNC student over the weekend has been involuntarily committed to UNC hospitals. And many items are still up in the air regarding the Ephesus Fordham plan, with the final voting nearing.
Ephesus Fordham plan has the ability to fix the broken infrastructure in this area.
These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill coverage of traffic and weather together in WCHL Championship Sports. The UNC women's basketball team faces Michigan State tonight for a shot at the Sweet 16. Plus, the Duke women saw an early exit last night. And
so, should John Swafford be apologizing this week or what?
That's this morning in Art Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
7:07 at WCHL, 36 degrees this morning. It actually feels good out there. Let's check in with the National Weather Service meteorologist Ryan Ellis to see what's going to happen.
We have a couple of storm systems approaching the area, one from the west and one from the south. But most of these put together is only going to give us rain across the triangle. Maybe a few wet flakes mixed in, but we don't expect any impacts at all for the roadways. Now, if you're traveling I-40 westbound towards Greensboro and Winston-Salem, you may start to see some accumulations on the grassy surfaces. But again, no impacts to roads as road temperatures remain in the 40s.
I take it the temperatures will remain safely above freezing, and we won't have to worry about any ice out there.
That's right for this morning. And then by the afternoon, the precipitation should end. We get a little bit of a wind out of the northwest, which will help dry things out a bit before temperatures do fall below freezing tonight. So you may see some patchy black ice out there tomorrow morning, but for the most part, we expect whatever falls today as rain to dry up before tomorrow.
Ryan, I know that it's spring according to the calendar, but are we actually ready for spring now after this passes through?
Well, I hope so. I'm certainly ready for it myself. We do see a warming trend for the end of the week and another system coming through, but that will be all liquid as well with temperatures approaching 70 by the weekend.
Again, we may see a few flakes this morning, but nothing to worry about. Just a slight possibility of a little snow, but no accumulation, nothing like that expected. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll stay in touch with the National Weather Service. Our thanks to Ryan Ellis, our local meteorologist, for keeping us up to date. Authorities say the man who was arrested for pulling a knife on a Carolina student on Sunday afternoon has now been involuntarily committed to UNC hospitals. According to the Daily Tar Heel, Chapel Hill resident and 31-year-old UNC graduate Jesse Allen Kister was committed in UNC Department of Public Safety's custody on Sunday. When he's released, he will be charged with assault with a deadly weapon. Chapel Hill Police and Department of Public Safety coordinated the search for Kister. Chapel Hill Police Department found him in the Chapel of the Cross on East Franklin Street. He was taken to the Chapel Hill Police Station and quickly turned over to DPS since the crime took place on the UNC campus. Kister was found in possession of four knives valued at $100, according to the incident report. Alert Carolina issued an emergency warning shortly after 4 p.m. on Sunday when the incident first took place. Buildings on the Carolina campus were locked down, including Carmichael Arena, where the UNC women's basketball team was playing its first-round NCAA tournament game. Alert Carolina issued the all-clear at 5:18 p.m. on Sunday. There were no injuries. The lockdown lasted for a little over an hour. The Daily Tar Heel interviewed one of Kister's former professors, who said he only knew Kister in the classroom and didn't know him on a personal level. Kister received his bachelor's degree in information science from UNC back in 2005. He also earned a master's in healthcare administration in 2008 and information science in 2011. A spokeswoman for the University of North Carolina says the school won't speculate about claims that it may have violated state law in its treatment of a reading specialist who says some athletes couldn't read at a third grade level. Spokeswoman Karen Moon commented on Monday in response to complaints from a government advocacy group that UNC may have violated state law by harassing the specialist. We're talking about Mary Willingham here. The Government Accountability Project also sought the names of the members of an investigation board. Moon says those experts are working independently and not as a board, but didn't name them. In addition, the school hired an independent counsel back in February to investigate irregularities in an academic department featuring classes with significant athlete enrollments. Moon says the counsel will decide the direction of his inquiry. As the Chapel Hill Town Council nears a vote on a plan to revitalize the Ephesus Fordham Boulevard area, questions remain about building height, affordable housing, stormwater, and the full cost of the plan. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
More than 100 people came out for last night's public hearing on the Ephesus Fordham redevelopment plan. Nearly a third of the crowd addressed the council.
Ephesus Fordham plan has the ability to fix the broken infrastructure in this area. The road network in this area is extremely dated and not functioning well. It also should reduce the need to drive to Durham, Chatham, or even Wake counties for shopping, dining, and working. It will broaden the tax base and take the burden off of residential property owners and tax increases in the future.
That's Brett Bushnell. He was one of 15 to speak in favor of the plan to spend $10 million on road and infrastructure improvements in the area. The project would reconfigure the intersection of Ephesus Church Road and Fordham Boulevard, extend Elliott Road, and create new mixed-use zones, allowing 3 to 7 stories of commercial or residential development on 190 acres in a bid to spur economic development. But opponents, including Bruce Henschel, worry the proposed new zoning tool, known as form-based code, will take public input out of the approval process.
Once a form-based code is passed, you've lost control. You might assume developers won't build 190 acres of 7-story buildings and parking lots cheek by jowl, but the code would allow them to do it. You couldn't stop them as long as they've met everything on the checklist.
Using form-based code, the council will set parameters for development, including building height, setbacks, and parking guidelines for each zone. Once these are in place, individual developers will not need to bring the projects before the council if they meet the established criteria. This kind of zoning and approval process would be new to Chapel Hill. Last night, supporters and critics both had questions about how the zoning would work. In the 3-hour discussion that followed, council members tried to address some of the limitations of form-based code, including the town's inability to mandate affordable housing. The council is looking to partner with a nonprofit to build low-income housing on town land in the Legion Road area. But beyond that, council members say there's little incentive for developers to provide workforce housing. The council also received a cost-benefit analysis of the project by Business Management Director Ken Benoyer. He offered 2 scenarios. In the conservative estimate, the project would cost about $26.4 million and the town would likely break even after 20 years. But if Orange County leaders agree to pledge a portion of the additional revenue the project is expected to generate, Benoyer said the project would bring in $46.9 million for the town over the next 2 decades.
Obviously, their participation helps our financial numbers and therefore makes the project more viable. If the project isn't viable and it doesn't go forward, then they don't benefit at all.
The council will discuss the funding partnership with Orange County commissioners at a joint meeting on Thursday. The Ephesus Fordham plan will come back before the council for a vote in mid-April. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
And while we're on the subject of the Chapel Hill Town Council, happy birthday once again to Mayor Mark Kleinsmith today. It looks like the town of Carrboro is making slight changes to the operating hours of the Wednesday Farmers Market. Tonight at Town Hall, the Board of Aldermen will vote on a resolution to change the market's operating hours to 3 p.m. until 6 p.m. Right now, the business hours for the Farmers Market are from 3:30 until 6:30 p.m., so they're just basically shifting it back a half hour. Also on tonight's agenda, the town will get some public input on a new website design for townofcarrboro.org. 3 proposed amendments to the town's land use ordinance will also get a public hearing tonight. Those involve clarifying design standards for bike and pedestrian paths and proposed guidelines for future infill development. The Board of Aldermen meets tonight at 7:30 at Carrboro Town Hall at 301 West Main Street. Earl McKee is running for a second term to represent District 2 on the Orange County Board of Commissioners. WCHL's Danny Hooley spoke to McKee about his priorities for another term as well as his opponent in the May 6th primary that will determine the election.
Earl McKee insists that just as when he first ran in 2010, his top priority now is the school system.
We have a great deal of deferred needs with the school systems, capital improvements, repairs, but we also have immediate needs in the classroom.
According to McKee, those needs include providing better wages for teachers and keeping teachers' assistants in classrooms. He points to recent actions by the North Carolina General Assembly as a source of some of the problems faced by Orange County schools.
It has been a concern over the last couple of years with the cuts that have been coming from the state. And what I see is reallocation of the lottery funds that causes more and more responsibility to fall on the counties.
McKee says he will continue to advocate for modest funding increases on a per-student basis. The Orange County Board of Commissioners has held the line on raising taxes for the past 5 years. McKee says the last four of those can be credited to the ability of the board to shift funding from year to year, as well as refinancing some long-term bonds and deferring funding that was not considered essential in the short term. But now, as those options seem to be running out, the question remains, where is the money going to come from to keep schools running as parents and teachers expect? And how is Orange County going to resolve its solid waste and recycling problems? Is the answer higher taxes? McKee says he won't pursue taxes just as a means of, quote, scouring up a few dollars.
But if we come to a position that we need additional funding to provide for the school system, if we come to the point that we need additional funding to provide for public safety issues, affordable housing issues, you can just go right on down the list of things that are facing us, then in that case, I will consider it.
McKee's challenger in this year's race is fellow Democrat Mark Markopoulos, a green builder from Bingham Township. There are no Republicans running for the District 2 seat, so the May 6 primary will determine the next commissioner for that district. Markopoulos has twice chaired the Board of Orange Water and Sewer Authority, and he's long been active in environmental issues. He recently told WCHL that he would bring environmental experience to the table that McKee couldn't match. McKee says that as a farmer, he would dispute that. He says one advantage he has over Markopoulos is his own, quote, recent experience.
Mr. Markopoulos has had quite a bit of experience. Most of it was in the 90s.
In the coming weeks, WCHL will reach out to candidates in all local races. To learn more about Orange County Commissioner Earl McKee, you can find this story at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
WCHL News Time, 7:17. Time now for traffic and weather together, and this traffic report is brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving fresh brewed coffee fast. It's guaranteed to taste great. Fuel up this morning on your way to wherever you're going at Cruisers. Good to go. Now with your morning traffic on WCHL, we're going to check in with the inimitable Rand Northam.
Well, thank you very much, Ron. 15501 southbound right now, seeing some slight delays between the East Franklin split and Estes Drive. Otherwise, in the area, not seeing any problems right now. That's good news, and we're not fighting with that snow this morning, so that's probably the best of news.
Thank goodness.
Estes Drive, Franklin Street, MLK, all moving without any delays. I-40, NC-54, and the Durham Freeway, not reporting any accidents or delays at this time either. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do it safely.
I think I can safely say that I speak for everybody, except perhaps the Eskimos in the audience, that I am sick and tired of winter weather.
Well,
of course, I realize in saying this that 2 months from now, I'll be complaining because it's 106 degrees.
Very true. Very true.
So, yeah. At any rate, if you don't like the weather, just stick around. It'll change.
That's right.
Yeah, it's really weird weather patterns these days. But luckily, we don't have any problems this morning, and looks like we're out of the woods on this one.
We'll keep an eye on it.
Thank you so much. I know you will. WCHL's Chapel Hill Cover of Weather, brought to you by the Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar, one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in all of North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. It is 37 degrees in Chapel Hill, 36 this morning in Carrboro, where it's always a degree cooler, cloudy, slight chance of rain and snow this morning, maybe a few flakes, then scattered rain showers in the afternoon. Our high today about 45, so it's not really going to warm up all that much. Chance of precipitation is 50%. Now tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered rain showers in the evening, then clearing up after midnight, our overnight low in the middle 20s. Tomorrow, we're looking at sunshine with a high in the middle 40s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the mid 20s. Thursday, partly sunny with a high in the middle 50s, about 10 degrees warmer. And then on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we'll be in the 60s. All 3 days. So warmer weather is definitely on the way.
Our name is WCHL. Our dial position is 97.9 FM. Our website is chapelboro.com, where you can listen from anywhere in the world with instantly live streaming. You can always start your day with Ron Stutz on 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Good morning, it is 7:20 at WCHL. See the light, pull to the right. That's a message from Chapel Hill's Fire Department and Police Department, along with Emergency Medical Services. And if you're hearing it here first, take note that it's not going to be the last time you ever hear it or see it. Beginning this month, Chapel Hill motorists are advised to pay attention to new signs bearing that message near six major intersections. Public Information Officer Lisa Edwards with the Chapel Hill Fire Department says this idea was sparked by conversations with emergency vehicle drivers. They were concerned about the reactions or the lack of reactions of some drivers when an emergency vehicle with flashing lights zooms up behind them.
Drivers become startled and mostly paralyzed. So either they do something really haphazard and cause more confusion, or they freeze up and do nothing.
What drivers in that situation should do is take their foot off the accelerator, merge with caution to the outside lane, and start slowing down and pulling off to the side of the road to allow the emergency vehicle to pass. That's the message the signs are supposed to drive home. They'll be placed at the following intersections: North Fulham Boulevard between Sage and Irwin Road, East Franklin Street between Elliott and Estes Drive, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard between Westminster and Weaver Dairy Road, Raleigh Road between Hamilton and Burlingtree, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard between North Columbia and Stephen Street, and also South Fordham Boulevard near Manning Drive. So look for those signs. You'll be seeing them very soon. WCHL News Time, 7:22. Time to turn now to WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Rod Stutz. The North Carolina women's basketball team will be gunning for a spot in the Sweet 16 when the number 4 seed Tar Heels take on the number 5 seed Michigan State Spartans tonight at 7 o'clock in Carmichael Arena. WCHL's Matt Oakes has more.
The Tar Heel women are fortunate just to be still playing basketball this season after being down a daunting 18 points in their first-round encounter with UT Martin. Sophomore Zelina McDaniel says she credits the Skyhawks for their incredible play and says the team knows it needs to get back to doing what they do best.
I'm not going to say that we took them that lightly. I mean, they played one of the best games that they could ever play. But, coming into this next game, we're just going to focus on doing what we have to do, doing what we do best, which is playing defense.
Associate head coach Andrew Calder says Michigan State will present all sorts of challenges to the Tar Heels Tuesday evening.
As far as Michigan State, they're a very talented team. Again, well coached. They have to start five players that can shoot the three, which spreads the floor. They have a very good driving game because the floor is spread. They have a very good power game inside and play very good position defense, and we're looking forward to the challenge.
National Freshman of the Year Diamond DeShield says she's happy to get her first NCAA tournament game under her belt. She says she now fully grasps how much harder everybody plays when their tourney lives are on the line.
I understand now that teams are going to be a lot different in this tournament than they were in the season, only because this is the NCAA tournament and there's a lot at stake. So you're going to get their best game and they're probably going to shock themselves sometimes. Other teams are going to just play incredibly. So you have to expect that in every game, and so you got to come out ready to play your best game too.
With a mere 3 points Tuesday, DeShields will become the ACC's top-scoring freshman in league history. Slow starts have been a reoccurring theme for the Tar Heels this season. DeShields says she's unsure of the root of this problem, but vows that it will all change against the Spartans.
We haven't figured it out yet. It's still happening. So hopefully, every game, as Coach said, is a new 40 minutes. And, now's the time for us to pick it up. Now's the time for us to figure it out. So you can expect a better start.
UNC leads the all-time series with Michigan State 3-1, but dropped the last meeting between the two schools up in East Lansing in 2009. The showdown will be broadcast live here on WCHL and nationally televised on ESPN2 starting at 7 p.m. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
We all want to see Sylvia Hatchell back on the sideline, but North Carolina assistant Andrew Calder says Hatchell won't be on the sideline for tonight's NCAA tournament game while she continues to recover from treatments for leukemia. Hatchell, who was inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame before this season, has said she hopes to recover in time to sit on the bench in a supporting role for the Tar Heels. She recently completed what she said will be her final chemo session, but she was not able to attend Sunday's tournament opener against Tennessee Martin while her immune system recovers following that most recent treatment. Calder's been filling in all season for the Tar Heels and doing a great job. The Tar Heels are the fourth seed in the Stanford Regional. Again, they play tonight, 7 o'clock in Carmichael Arena. In other news this morning, we can tell you that Duke lost last night in the NCAA tournament. Duke women were upset by DePaul, 74-65, in spite of the fact that Duke was playing on its home court last night in the second round of the NCAA tournament. So they don't make it to the Sweet 16. Blue Devils, who made four straight appearances in the regional finals, become the first number two seed to lose this early since Xavier lost to Louisville back in 2011. Duke finishes the season at 28-7. Adam Silver says he's heard the Bill Gates theory numerous times from critics over the past month. You shouldn't be required to attend college to become a millionaire. But the new NBA commissioner steadfastly believes that basketball players ought to spend at least 2 years in college before being allowed to enter the draft instead of the required one. He says it's simply best for the league. That means if Silver had his way, Jabari Parker, players like that, would be staying in school another year, but there's not much he can do about it. An agreement between the league and Players Association is not imminent. And speaking of Charlotte, which is where he was speaking last night, James Harden scored 31 points. Dwight Howard had a double-double. In his return to the court, Houston Rockets defeated the Bobcats 100-89. WCHL Championship Sports. Good morning. I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
So, should John Swafford be apologizing this week or what? This is Art Chansky with Tuesday Sports Notebook. The ACC has one team in the Sweet 16, and 2014 marks the first time since 1979. That's 35 years ago, if you remember Black Sunday, that no Big Four school got out of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. While the ACC was hardly the strongest league in college basketball, ranked fifth in the RPI most of the season, its two marquee names, Duke and North Carolina, got booted out in embarrassing fashion. The Blue Devils lost their first game to a double-digit seed for the second time in 3 years, and this is the first season since Roy Williams has been back at UNC that the Tar Heels have missed two straight Sweet 16s. For the record, the three conferences with three teams each are Big Ten, Michigan, Michigan State, and Wisconsin, Pac-12, Arizona, Stanford, and UCLA, and SEC, Florida, Kentucky, and surprising Tennessee. The strongest conference all season, the Big 12, has only two survivors, Iowa State and Baylor, after second seed Kansas lost. And the AAC, whatever that stands for, has two in lame duck Louisville and UConn, which is there because it could not find another home after the old Big East broke up. The new Big East, by the way, has zero teams left. So three leagues have one school alive, the ACC with number one seed Virginia, the Atlantic 10 with Syracuse Slayer Dayton, and the Mountain West with number four seed San Diego State, vastly underrated under Coach Steve Fisher, who 25 years ago won the national championship in his first season coaching at Michigan. To answer my original question, Commissioner Swafford should be red-faced over the ACC's poor showing. Three-seed Syracuse went out in its second game, and Duke lost its NCAA tournament opener for the fifth time under Mike Krzyzewski. Oh yes, old Roy has never lost his first game in 24 NCAA tournaments, but that doesn't help soothe the way UNC blew it on Sunday. The other two ACC teams that made the field, NC State and Pittsburgh, each won a game before hitting the showers for good. Besides rooting for Tony Bennett's Virginia team, which proved itself as much tougher than Duke and Carolina, maybe Swafford can claim defending national champion Louisville, which joins the ACC next season. That way he can save some red face by claiming his league actually has 1.5 teams still dancing. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
At Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace Headquarters, we are thrilled with the tremendous response to our hot, fresh coffee, but we need to clarify a few points. Cruiser's brews fresh coffee and discards any that doesn't get enjoyed while fresh. This not-so-fresh coffee is not available for purchase and resale by other coffee shops. Though Cruiser sells coffee shop quality coffee using 100% Arabica beans, we cannot provide the snooty service often associated with coffee shops. And although our taste rate guarantee is a wonderful start, we cannot guarantee that the rest of your day will be perfect. That, my friend, is up to you. Fresh, great-tasting coffee, guaranteed, only at Cruiser's. Good to go.
This is Dr. Beth Goldstein with Central Dermatology Center. Rosacea is a common but misunderstood skin condition of flushing, blushing, and breakouts. If left untreated, the symptoms can worsen, and with time, people with rosacea may see a permanent redness in their face. If you've noticed signs of rosacea and are looking for help, request an appointment online with Central Dermatology Center at centralderm.net or call us at 919-401-1994. We accept most major insurances, including Medicare and TRICARE.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Liberty Tax Service. It's half off, $199 worth of tax preparation services, available now for $99. It's tax season again, and April 15th will be here before you know it. You know what that means, scrambling around to finish your dreaded tax return. This year, there's no need to panic. Our Local Deal has you covered. Let the professionals at Liberty Tax Service handle your taxes. It's half off from Liberty Tax Service. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather, 37 degrees right now. Look for a high today in the middle 40s. Chance of precipitation is 50-50. Probably showers, maybe a snowflake or two.
97.9 FM WCHL is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live 24-7 at chapelborough.com.
There's CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. 14 deaths confirmed, 176 people missing after the Washington State mudslide in Oso. Correspondent Danielle Nottingham.
While search coordinators acknowledge that prospects are grim, they say this remains a rescue operation. Still, no one has been pulled alive from the debris flow since Saturday.
CBS's Terry Okita says the search area is sizable.
The swath of land where this mudslide happened is so wide, it's 1 square mile, and it's very slow-going, tedious work as they try to sift through all of this. Mud and debris, quicksand, some contaminants that have come up from sewers and septic tanks. So they're facing a lot of challenges.
Washington State geologist Dave Norman says factor this in.
There is still some movement on the landslide, and that is something that we're trying to get a better handle on.
Seattle Times reports in 1999, the Army Corps of Engineers warned about the potential for a catastrophic failure in the area where the slide occurred. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
732 at WCHL, we have 37 degrees in Chapel Hill, and do we have anything to worry about? Not so much. Ryan Ellis, National Weather Service meteorologist.
We have a couple of storm systems approaching the area, one from the west and one from the south. But most of these put together is only going to give us rain across the triangle. Maybe a few wet flakes mixed in, but we don't expect any impacts at all for the roadways. Now, if you're traveling I-40 westbound towards Greensboro and Winston-Salem, you may start to see some accumulations on the grassy surfaces, but again, no impacts to roads as road temperatures remain in the 40s.
I take it the temperatures will remain safely above freezing, and we won't have to worry about any ice out there.
That's right for this morning. And then by the afternoon, the precipitation should end. We get a little bit of a wind out of the northwest, which will help dry things out a bit before temperatures do fall below freezing tonight. So you may see some patchy black ice out there tomorrow morning, but for the most part, we expect whatever falls today as rain to dry up before tomorrow.
Ryan, I know that it's spring according to the calendar, but are we actually ready for spring now after this passes through?
Well, I hope so. I'm certainly ready for it myself. We do see a warming trend for the end of the week and another system coming through, but that will be all liquid as well with temperatures approaching 70 by the weekend.
National Weather Service meteorologist Ryan Ellis. Again, maybe a snowflake or two, but nothing to worry about as far as accumulation is concerned, and nothing to worry about today as far as ice is concerned. We're safely above freezing. Could have a little black ice tomorrow morning as our low tonight is supposed to get down in the middle 20s. Authorities say the man who was arrested for pulling a knife on a UNC student on Sunday afternoon has now been involuntarily committed to UNC hospitals. According to the Daily Tar Heel, Chapel Hill resident and 31-year-old UNC grad Jesse Allen Kister was committed in UNC Department of Public Safety's custody on Sunday. When he gets released, he will be charged with assault with a deadly weapon. Chapel Hill Police and DPS coordinated the search for Kister. The Chapel Hill Police Department found him in the Chapel of the Cross inside the building on East Franklin Street. He was taken to the Chapel Hill Police Station and quickly turned over to DPS since the crime took place on the Carolina campus. Kister was found in possession of four knives valued at $100, according to the incident report. Alert Carolina issued an emergency warning shortly after 4 p.m. when the incident first took place. Buildings on campus were locked down, including Carmichael Arena, where the UNC women's basketball team was busy playing its first-round NCAA tournament game. Alert Carolina issued the all-clear at 5:18 p.m. Sunday afternoon. Nobody was hurt. The alert lasted for a little over an hour. The DTH interviewed one of Kister's former professors, who said that he only knew Kister in the classroom and didn't know him on a personal level. Kister received his bachelor's degree in information science from the university in 2005. He also earned a master's in healthcare administration in 2008 and information science in 2011. A spokesperson for UNC says the school won't speculate about claims that it may have violated state law in its treatment of a reading specialist who says some athletes couldn't read at a third grade level. Spokeswoman Karen Moon commented on Monday in response to complaints from a government advocacy group that the university may have violated state law by harassing the specialist. That, of course, is Mary Willingham. The Government Accountability Project also sought the names of the members of the investigating board. Moon says those experts are working independently and not as a board and did not name them. In addition, the school hired an independent counsel last month to investigate irregularities in an academic department featuring classes with significant athlete enrollments. Moon says the council will decide the direction of his inquiry. As the Chapel Hill Town Council nears a vote on a plan to revitalize the Ephesus Fordham Boulevard area, there's a lot of controversy. Questions still remain about building height, affordable housing, stormwater, and the full cost of the plan. A lot of people not ready to buy into this yet. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more details.
More than 100 people came out for last night's public hearing on the Ephesus Fordham redevelopment plan. Nearly a third of the crowd addressed the council.
Ephesus Fordham plan has the ability to fix the broken infrastructure in this area. The road network in this area is extremely dated and not functioning well. It also should reduce the need to drive to Durham, Chatham, or even Wake counties for shopping, dining, and working. It will broaden the tax base and take the burden off of residential property owners and tax increases in the future.
That's Brett Bushnell. He was one of 15 to speak in favor of the plan to spend $10 million on road and infrastructure improvements in the area. The project would reconfigure the intersection of Ephesus Church Road and Fordham Boulevard, extend Elliott Road, and create new mixed-use zones, allowing 3 to 7 stories of commercial or residential development on 190 acres in a bid to spur economic development. But opponents, including Bruce Henschel, worry the proposed new zoning tool, known as form-based code, will take public input out of the approval process.
Once a form-based code is passed, you've lost control. You might assume developers won't build 190 acres of 7-story buildings and parking lots cheek by jowl, but the code would allow them to do it. You couldn't stop them as long as they've met everything on the checklist.
Using form-based code, the council will set parameters for development, including building height, setbacks, and parking guidelines for each zone. Once these are in place, individual developers will not need to bring the projects before the council if they meet the established criteria. This kind of zoning and approval process would be new to Chapel Hill. Last night, supporters and critics both had questions about how the zoning would work. In the 3-hour discussion that followed, council members tried to address some of the limitations of form-based code, including the town's inability to mandate affordable housing. The council is looking to partner with a nonprofit to build low-income housing on town land in the Legion Road area. But beyond that, council members say there's little incentive for developers to provide workforce housing. The council also received a cost-benefit analysis of the project by Business Management Director Ken Benoyer. He offered 2 scenarios. In the conservative estimate, the project would cost about $26.4 million, and the town would likely break even after 20 years. But if Orange County leaders agree to pledge a portion of the additional revenue the project is expected to generate, Benoyer said the project would bring in $46.9 million for the town over the next 2 decades.
Obviously, their participation helps our financial numbers and therefore makes the project more viable. If the project isn't viable and it doesn't go forward, then they don't benefit at all.
The council will discuss the funding partnership with Orange County commissioners at a joint meeting on Thursday. The Ephesus Fordham plan will come back before the council for a vote in mid-April. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
A federal official says tens of thousands of hotels don't allow guests to directly reach emergency services when dialing 911 from their room phones. Federal Communications Commission member Ajit Pai announced the initial results of a survey that was taken after a 9-year-old Texas girl could not connect with 911 while her mother was being stabbed to death in a hotel room. The hotel room's phone requires dialers to press 9 before dialing 911. Pai says the vast majority of America's estimated 53,000 hotel hotel properties are run by franchise owners, and only about 45% of those have direct 911 dialing. The December stabbing death of Carrie Hunt Dunn drew national attention and more than 440,000 signatures on a petition to require hotels and motels to enable direct 911 dialing. In news around town this morning, March 31st is the deadline to sign up for health insurance as part of the Affordable Care Act. If you haven't signed up yet, First Baptist Church Singles Ministry is hosting two open enrollment sessions tomorrow and Friday, both from 9 until 5 in the church's fellowship hall at 106 North Roberson Street in Chapel Hill. It is open to everyone. There will also be a Q&A session on Wednesday, also in the fellowship hall, from 7 until 8 p.m. The town of Chapel Hill is holding a pair of public meetings on Wednesday to continue its ongoing North-South Corridor study. The study is a planning initiative to identify issues and plan the future of Chapel Hill's main North-South Corridor, which begins on Martin Luther King Boulevard, continues down Columbia Street through downtown and UNC, and connects to 15501 South to Southern Village. The meetings will take place in an open house format. Members of the public are invited to drop in anytime. The first meeting will run from 11:30 to 1:30 at the Stone Cultural Center on the UNC campus at 150 South Road. The second meeting will be in the Chapel Hill Public Library from 4:30 until 7, also on Wednesday. WCHL News Time 741. I'm Ron Sutz. Rand Northam has just walked into the studio this morning, bouncing a basketball, working on his skills, and it's not going to help with the brackets, that's for sure. Unless you're in a Chapel Bros contest, and then you can enter at the beginning of each round, and
that's
you're,
right.
You're not behind the eight ball.
Yeah, already. If you haven't played yet, make sure to go play right now because you can join us for the Sweet 16.
That sets it apart from any other bracketology challenge I've ever heard.
That's right.
You know, because you get a chance to start over every time. By the way, Tar Heel women playing tonight, 7 o'clock for the opportunity to move on to the Sweet 16. Duke women played last night, upset by DePaul on Duke's home court, so Duke's out of it. And let's wish good luck to the Tar Heel women tonight. And I know that also, you know, Coach Sylvia Hatchell has expressed her desire to return to the sidelines, you know, sometime before the end of the season. Let's hope they can win again to give her another chance to get out there.
Yeah, definitely. Duke men and women getting bounced early. But, yeah, well, it would be great to see if Sylvia Hatchell could make it to the sidelines. At this rate, it kind of seems like, especially for a consistency sake, that she's probably not going to make it.
Well, according to the latest I heard, is that like she just wanted to at least be there in an advisory role.
I
guess she
right.
wouldn't take over as head coach or anything, but you know, the regular head coaching duties. But Andrew
very
Calder's
hard
done
for
it.
Her to be on that sideline and not not have that kind of head coach kind of position.
That's for sure, especially as much as Coach Hatchell gets into the game.
Sure.
But Coach Calder's done a good job.
Yes, he's done a very, very good job with a very young team and a very talented young team.
Well, they're playing at home tonight, Carmichael Arena. Everybody go and support the Tar Heels.
That's right.
What's happening at chapelbro.com today?
Well, in our lifestyle section, Richard Ellington asks, did the Revolutionary War start in Orange County? That would be interesting, so you'll want to read that. That, again, in our lifestyle section. Naris Levy's commentary is available. Of course, you've been hearing it on our airwaves, but it's also in our local buzz column section. And in our galleries, another chamber business after hours was held at the VIF International, so you'll want to check that out. Some great photos by Susan Murray there in our photo galleries. We've got the Hoop It Up with the Heels section. That will last until the women are playing no longer, and we hope that is a couple weeks from now when they are in the national championship game. That would be great. But right now in the tournament, and Hoop It Up with the Heels continues on. And again, do play our bracket. You can find a link to that at the bottom of our website, chapelboro.com, and join us now. It's round by round, so you can win some great prizes. Hickory Tavern in Carrboro supporting those or supplying those prizes, gift cards, and we appreciate their partnership, and we hope that you can grab one of those gift cards.
Yeah.
But that's just a hint of what's available on our website, chapelboro.com, and you can get it all with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
You say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. Yeah, well, I'm sorry. Nice. Couldn't help it.
Well done.
Thank you. 744 at WCHL. And today's commentary is on the way from Naris Levy. She says, even if you opposed it, doggone it, now it's time to move on. And that is up right after this.
And now it's time for the professionals. Local service, daily insights.
I'm Mark Vitale. I'm the owner of All About Insurance, one of Nationwide's largest insurance agencies. Very proud to be the leader of that operation. In 1982, my wife and I got married and we embarked on a career that neither one of us had ever thought we would do, and that opened up a restaurant in Chapel Hill on Rosemary Street. Like everything, we worked really hard. It started with nothing. Unfortunately, it wore us out, but it also taught us that there is nothing to learn business better than the restaurant business when you're totally in it. You really learn how hard it is, and everything else is easy in comparison. I go around the country helping people in the insurance industry build their businesses, and this is the first thing I say. First of all, you have to love what you do. To me, that's the pinnacle, is that you love what you do, or you have a reason why you want to build this business. What I try to teach people is to continue to get back to the basics, whatever it is that created you and created your business. Continually build off of those things. The reality is that it's real important what we do. It's a profession, it's not a job. So you can call in Chapel Hill at 919-933-4000 or stop in at Nationwide Square at 1289 North Fordham Boulevard, or you could check us out at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
This has been The Professionals on WCHL, local service, daily insights.
Hi, this is Terry Sturdivant. Have you heard the big news? Sturdivant's Tire and Auto has joined the Tire Pros team, the nation's largest network of independent tire dealers. And during March and April, a portion of every tire sold will go to support our local Chapel Hill, East Chapel Hill, Cedar Ridge, Carrboro, and Northwood baseball programs. Come help us in our 11th annual high school baseball fundraiser. So come see the pros at Sturdivant's Tire Pros, located off Highway 54 West in Chapel Hill, just 5 quick minutes from Carrboro. Call us at 942-TIRE or visit 942-TIRE.com.
Put on your running shoes and show your support for anyone affected by cancer. Join the Chocolate 5K on March 30th on UNC's campus, and you'll help those journeying with cancer. And yes, you'll get to enjoy delicious chocolate while you run or walk. It all helps Cornucopia Cancer Support Center enhance the quality of life for anyone touched by cancer. Every step you take makes a difference. Register today for the Chocolate 5K at cancersupport4u.org. Thanks, WCHL, for supporting Cornucopia.
Good morning. It is 37 degrees, 747 at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz.
And now, WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Neris Levy, and I'm a friend of the Carver Branch Library. Over the past 25 years, our group has struggled to get a fully functioning branch of the Orange County Public Library in Carver. We are now delighted to announce that the Southern Branch Library is becoming a reality. Tonight, March 25th at 6 p.m. in Carver's Hampton Inn, and 12 noon on Saturday, April 12th in Carver Town Hall, Freelon Associates, the concept architects for the proposed library, will hold a conversation with Orange County residents about our community's dreams and desires for this new facility and its proposed site. Deciding what goes into a branch library is a joint process. There are the planners and politicians who visualize and approve the project, the library professionals who are experts on all the issues related to library administration and design, and then there is us, the public, who pay for it all and whose voices therefore really do count. This combined input will be processed by the concept architects and will be reflected in their recommendations to the Board of Orange County Commissioners in May. The library, like other public projects, belongs to you, the public. So get involved and let's hear what you have to say. So even if you ever had issues with this project, it's time for us all to move on, join the conversation, and be part of this new and wonderful library. This is Neris Levy.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
When she looks at that diamond ring, she's going to feel like, oh my God, he did so much for me. This man really, really loves me.
That's Joey at Diamonds Direct, where they specialize in making guys heroes.
We go the extra mile to find the right diamond, the right mounting. No matter how long it takes, we'll look through every ring in this store, every diamond in the store, until he can look at it and go, That's her. I want that one.
It starts with Superior Diamonds at no middleman prices.
From the mine to our cutting house to the floor here, there's no middleman in between adding 5 and 10% along the way. That is the whole point of the name Diamonds Direct.
But it's more than just the diamond. It's the ring, the look.
The design of the ring is just as important as the diamond in the center to most women. Most men just look at the rock in the center, but women look at the whole design of the ring. They want something that they feel they can look at that is their one-of-a-kind special ring.
Names like Decori, Viragio, Simon G., Henry Dossi, Scott K., and dozens more.
We have over 4,000 settings in this store.
Diamonds Direct, the value you want, the ring she wants. The Carolinas Direct Diamond Importer, outside Crabtree Valley Mall across from Fleming's.
March Madness is here, and while 68 teams from around the country fight for a spot in the Final Four, Chapelboro.com has a chance for you to win big every round with our Bracket Challenge presented by Hickory Tavern in Carrboro. As teams are getting knocked out and going home, you can keep coming back to make new picks every round while winning great prizes along the way. Visit Chapelboro.com today and prove you know your bracketology with the Chapelboro Bracket Challenge presented by Hickory Tavern in Carrboro.
Time for traffic and weather together on WCHL, and this traffic report is brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. You know, they serve fresh brewed coffee fast, but they also serve the best tasting fountain drinks in town, made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees, guaranteed to taste great. Cruisers, good to go. Now we'll get a check in with Rand and get the very latest on our traffic information just ahead of Dr. Wayne Pond.
Thank you, Ron. 15501 northbound between I-40 and Garrett Road. Seeing some slight delays, nothing major there. Major thoroughfares right now looking pretty good, actually. I-40, the Durham Freeway, NC-54, 15501 elsewhere, MLK, Estes Drive, and Franklin Street. Not reporting any accidents or additional delays. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you do that safely.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro Weather brought to you by Sturtevant's Tire Pros in Chapel Hill. You can visit 942tire.com or you can give them a call at 942-TIRE. It's 37 degrees in Chapel Hill, 36 this morning in Carrboro, where it's always a degree cooler. Also 36 in Hillsboro. Cloudy today, slight chance of rain, and maybe even a snowflake or two this morning, but no accumulation expected, no problems expected. Scattered rain showers in the afternoon, 50-50 chance. High today in the middle 40, so relatively cool today. Tonight, we're looking at mostly cloudy skies with lows in the middle 20s. The chance of rain is 30% tonight. And then tomorrow, a sunny day with a high in the middle 40s again, so still cool and warming up for the weekend. 7:52 at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Wayne Pond joins us now. How are you this morning, Wayne? You staying warm?
7:52. Here we go again.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like it was just 3 minutes ago we were doing the last one.
Hey, Big Ron, you like to say that you have a face for radio, right?
Yeah, I say that all the time because it's true.
Well, that's perfect entree here for the word of the day. Ron, old friend, the word of the day is telegenic. Telegenic. T-E-L-E. T as in Tom. T-E-L-E-G-E-N-I-C. T-E-L-E-G-E-N-I-C. Well, I would argue that you have a voice for radio, a face for television, and a personality for both. And if that doesn't make you telegenic, I'd like to know what would.
Wow. What a nice thing to say, Wayne.
Well,
You're off your meds or what?
No, I'm on them. I'm on them. That's it. All right. So telegenic, what does it really mean? It's an adjective, a well-suited person for the medium of television, mm-hmm. especially having an appearance and a manner that are markedly attractive to television viewers.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Is that a compliment to human nature or not?
Yeah, well, hey, as long as they got the wide-angle lens working, it's okay.
I tell you, man, the way TV works anymore, I'm not sure I want to go near that. All right, there it is, telegenic, T-E-L-E-G-E-N-I-C. Having an appearance well-suited to the medium of television.
Wow.
Which is just a passing fad, as we all know.
Oh, right? Yeah, it's not going to last. It's sort of like
radio is the one true medium.
Yeah, it's sort of like rock and roll. Rock and roll will never last.
That's right. It's the church where we all worship. Ron Boy, have a good one.
All right, you too, buddy. Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Sometime next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. You can do all that. We'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. It's 7:54. Guess what day it is?
Oh.
It's hump day.
Thursday?
Not and here's Lauren Stafford.
Thank you.
No, today's Wednesday.
I know. I'm teasing you. I'm teasing you. We can't escape. It's official. You can never not know it's Wednesday around this office because inevitably you or Aaron or one of many people will have to do the hump day announcement.
Yeah, but not only that, but there's a camel walking around in here, so, you know, on Wednesday, so.
I've seen Stranger at the WCHL offices.
Hard to,
weirder things have happened here.
Me too, that's kind of mild compared to some things.
Well, actually, Lauren, it's Tuesday, but never mind, just go right ahead.
Guess what day it is?
Well. Tell us a good joke, would you
it's
please?
Welshman, yeah. or Welsh ladies or wives
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah. Welsh
and,
woman, yeah.
Yeah, and so she sent another one in.
Okay.
Again, about the European descent
okay.
and differences. All right. A Welshman, Scot, and Englishman are walking when they come across a lantern and a genie pops out and grants them one wish each.
Okay.
All right. The Scot says, well, I'm a sheep herder, like my dad before me. I want my country to be full of lovely sheep farms. Whoosh. And so it was. The Englishman was amazed and said, I want a wall around England to keep those damn Scots and Welsh out. Bang! There's a wall around England. The Welshman says, tell me more about this wall. The genie says it's 200 feet high, 100 feet thick, and it goes all around England, and nothing can get in or out. The Welshman says, well, in that case, my wish is to fill it with water.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Lucinda Munger is today's WCHL Hometown Hero. Lucinda is the director of the Orange County Public Library, and right now she's focused on getting the new Southern Branch Library in place in downtown Carrboro.
This process began many, many years ago with the Carrboro Library in the middle school starting in the 1990s. And then in 2004, the commissioners created the library, which is still in the Century Center. But this new library, the process really began back in 2012, even a little bit before that. We've made a lot of progress. We're going to open it up to the public.
Tell us what you're expecting from folks.
We are working with a group from Durham called Freelon Group, a noted international firm for doing cultural institutions. They not only design and draw, but they also help facilitate public input processes. We're very excited about it. We went through the exercises that folks will be doing. I know people don't believe me when I say this, but they're going to be a lot of fun.
It's a chance for the general public to make its wishes known, to tell officials just what they want in a library and why it's important.
Lots of opportunities for input. I can tell that just being around you, you are incredibly enthusiastic about this new library proposed for downtown Carrboro.
It's a great time to be a library director here in Orange County, and especially with now this process going on. We've worked with a town of Carrboro, the Board of Aldermen. They gave us 7 sites to look at. This is the one that the commissioners requested the staff to go forward, but also just to get people happy and involved. We want to know what you want your library to look like and to feel like, what you want it to be for now and in the future. We also are doing an online method for people to give their insights and opinions and comments and dreams. We want you to imagine what this library will be like, whether you can make it to those 2 public input sessions or not. And the Friends of the Carrboro Library have a Facebook page up, and you can have an online discussion even that way.
Well, Lucinda, I want to thank you for doing what you do. You've been the director of the Orange County Public Library for a long time, haven't you?
Since 2009. I've been here for 5 years.
Seems like a lot longer than that, doesn't it?
Well, you know, it's been great. I've been very, very lucky to be here during this time period. We have great community support. We have great support from the commissioners and the Board of Aldermen. We're just going to keep on going forward and improving library services for everyone in the community.
Lucinda Munger, Director of the Orange County Library, today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Liberty Tax Service. It's half off, $199 worth of tax preparation services, available now for $99. It's tax season again, and April 15th will be here before you know it. You know what that means? Scrambling around to finish your dreaded tax return. This year, there's no need to panic. Our Local Deal has you covered. Let the professionals at Liberty Tax Service handle your taxes.
It's half off from Liberty Tax Service. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at ourlocaldeal.com.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
36 degrees in Chapel Hill, cloudy day today. Slight chance of rain and maybe even a little bit of snow this morning, but no accumulation, nothing like that. Then scattered showers in the afternoon. Our high today in the middle 40s, so kind of a cool day. 50-50 chance of precipitation.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 8 o'clock.
Carolina football.
No, he's not! Yes, he is! Touchdown!
WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Struggle in the Washington...